Did it, did it. Oh, Jesus. Professional as always.
I didn't even have my headphones on there. Oh, when do you ever think about your lugs?
We should explain that lugs is a Scottish word for ears.
It should be.
We need to do translation at every lugs point.
A lug looks more like a lug than an ear. You look at it and you go, does that look like an ear? An ear is nothing but a lug.
A lug.
Plugging his lugs.
Well, okay, welcome back to Folk in Scotland.
I'm just looking at your plectrum over there. When I came in, listeners, yeah. I was coming down the corridor and I felt a force, an energy. The place was like ozone-y, and when I walked in, he was noodling in his guitar.
I'm sorry.
What a noodle it was.
I'm
he had his
so
breeks
sorry.
Down as well, so he was playing
proper
his
noodle.
Remember those buskers that used to play like 10 instruments at once?
Yes, that was me and my noodle.
You were a noodle.
Okay, so
he calls it his plectrum.
Jesus, moving on. There's no number to this episode because of COVID. All our old episodes are kind of out of date now because we've done the quarantine.
Oh, you've missed some wonderful stuff.
And there was loads of episodes before that, so we're going to try and put them out a bit quicker and then get back to some sort of normality with these ones.
This is the new normal, I've been led to believe.
The new normal.
The new normal.
Everyone talks about that, the new normal, like it's this rebirth, this new society. But everyone's still a bastard.
Still an arsehole.
Nothing's changed.
Like Phoenix. You know what I have realised? I never liked people before this carry on.
That's true.
But for the last 4 months, interaction with people's been limited. And I was in a queue, and you know people's fucking tedious conversations.
Yes.
Like, I was in the queue and it's Archie. Archie had his first pear the other day and he loved the pear. He likes it more than an apple. And I had a compulsion to smash the whole family into mush.
I understand that.
Is that a mental thing? That.
You are mental.
Yeah.
I would say.
But the
conversations have become very limited because you've not went, I was out and I saw a UFO. No, the most you've seen looking up is your roof for the last four months.
Unless you've got a mirrored roof.
Which I don't.
You've got a right scratch perspex roof.
Clawed it.
When you've been scratching your arse.
Okay.
Your hind legs. When you scratch a dog's belly, it's leg, you know, like that.
No. Anyway, getting back to some normality.
Oh, his coffee's a bomb.
That's the Al Jazeera coffee at Tesco's.
Oh, wonderful.
Anyway, you know my friend that has all the issues. Yeah, okay.
Or maybe he's got the secret to successful life.
He seems happy enough. But the latest one, I was on the phone for an hour last night trying to talk him out of it.
Talk him down.
Have you heard of breatharians?
Oh, Christ's sake.
He's discovered that you can live on sunlight. You don't need...
No, in Dundee,
no,
that's not
you're
happening.
Dead within a week, yeah. You can live on sunlight and the nutrients that are in the air.
Like a plant.
Now, all these idiots online that do this, he's been watching tons of videos.
Are they not always Australian?
There's a lot of Australian, yeah, it's very popular there.
We didn't send our best over there.
I think my... My favourite one was this blonde, weird Australian woman, I think. And her daughter went, "She eats all the time, what are you talking about?" It was really funny in the documentary.
Pepper Armies.
Yeah.
But they put them to the test and like watched them and like...
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I can't last half a day without something to eat.
Really?
I just hit the floor, I'm just done.
Oh, no, I can...
No. No, since I've never had a day without food in my entire life.
Second head injury, I think. I forgot, not forgot, but I don't feel hunger in the same way anymore.
Oh, no.
So, I just don't feel
my hunger's all consuming. I'm hungry just now.
I remember being hungry. I was like, oh God, I'm starving. I remember the feeling in your stomach.
I have been,
but
I've noticed that, if you're focusing on something...
Yeah.
And you really focus
it's
on
gone.
Something.
Yeah, it just disappears.
And then you don't think about the hunger, but then the minute you've done, then it kicks in.
Well, the way I feel when I'm really hungry, I start getting the dizzy way. I go, oh, something wrong.
The dizzy way, yeah.
And it's always to that point.
That's after 2 weeks.
Yeah. But it's really bad. I just don't notice.
What's the rule of three?
What?
Is it not like three days without water?
Oh yeah, three days without water, you're in trouble.
3 weeks without food?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Three months without a wank. The backlog. I worked with a lassie, and her brother had went to the doctor, and he was feeling there was problems he was having, and the doctor says, "You're not masturbating enough." He'd said to him, "When was the last time you'd masturbate?" The guy says, "It's been a couple of years." He says, "No, you need to." Why? It's like if you've a car in the garage, you've got to turn over the engine.
That's true.
So the brake seize. You need to masturbate.
Oh, that's funny. Sometimes. How you made a reference to a car there when you're kind of scared of them.
I'm not scared of
you
them.
You get
just
run over once, you get thrown through the windscreen another time, and it's all boo-hoo.
They're just death machines. Even those Volkswagen Beetles with like a little daffodil in the
daffodil doesn't make any car safer.
It doesn't make it safer, no.
But you have to admit, it makes you feel safer.
No.
You can't imagine a pilot.
I'm not in cars much these days at all. I was walking here along Shite Street.
Oh, God. Why do you go down there?
I don't know. It's a shortcut. And I heard a... what the fuck is that?
No.
And as I was passing one of the boarded up windows, it's coming from behind the entrance like that. I could hear the claw. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? And there was a hole in it, and I peeked through, and there was a seagull looking back at me.
Oh.
But I thought it was a person.
Right, seagulls have changed. Now, yeah. We saw this at the start.
I think they've got human voices now.
The other day, across on that roof from us, I watched the seagull swallow a pigeonhole.
Oh, the yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it's going to die eating that. No,
no, no. No. The thing is, a good-sized pigeon is the size of a lot of Dundee women. Those old women
shape.
You see going about. Less feathers, so they'd be easier to eat.
That's true. How would they get the shopping bags down, though?
I know. The shopping trolley.
Shopping
the shopping trolley. The tartan shopping trolley. I'm not sure about those things.
Now, the shopping trolley.
They've got Uzis in them.
My mum has a deluxe version,
oh,
which is aluminium.
Oh.
It folds. It's beautiful. Mm. It's really good, right? But my partner saw it and went, "I'd love one of them."
Oh, God.
Now, I've never told a woman what to do in my life.
Did you put your foot down?
I put my foot down with a firm hand.
But she went and bought one.
Yes.
She bought two. And now you have one.
She goes, "Oh, that looks great. I could do tons of shopping."
Yeah.
No, please don't.
No, but I remember, well, you and I are man bag enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm. But excuse me, my bag is tactical.
It's tactical, yeah. Okay. You're one of these men that wear camouflage for an urban environment. That's all I'm saying.
How do you know I'm wearing camouflage?
I don't know.
How can you see it?
So good. Like a chameleon. You're like a mystique.
I wear camouflage trousers. Because they're
for
average
for the stains.
About 30 the stains, yeah. The mm-hmm. the after toilet drip. But
it's called
£30 and they'll last forever.
It's called the Thrupney bit.
The Thrupney bit.
I used to have, remember, parachute trousers back in the late '90s.
Late '90s.
Was it?
Early '90s.
Fuck. No. Because I had a pair when I was working in the pub, so I had a pair when I was
You had parachute trousers and you were a bouncer.
Well, yeah.
I bet you got beat up a lot.
No.
Bullied.
No. And yeah, but they were a grey material. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the slightest speck of piss, the whole thing just absorbed them.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. Truly embarrassing. I've been to the stage of actually soaking myself more. To conceal.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone watching this has went, oh,
just
fuck.
Poured a pint over.
And you just pour water on yourself and go, those fucking sinks. But to be fair, the sinks in this building were built when people were about a foot shorter.
Oh, they're wee. They're
so
wee
when
sinks.
You turn them on, they do spray you just below the crotch. So it looks like you've pissed quite a low distance down.
I used to work in a pub, which is now called Duke's Corner.
Okay.
And when I left there under a bit of a cloud, this is years ago, I kept the key to the disabled toilet.
Right, okay.
So any time I drank there, I would just go to this toilet. But they'd never have the wherewithal to get a new key. So it was like my own personal toilet.
Wonderful.
But obviously, it was never being washed.
That's...
So, and I never flushed, obviously. But it was like seeing a welcome old friend.
Oh, God.
Hello there.
There's a jobby from 4 weeks ago.
There's a wee jobby for... For a wee jobby.
Well, oh God. But yeah, that's the thing. Where I live, just along from me, there's houses that are like 800 years old.
Okay.
And when you go in them, honestly, it's like going in a cave. All the doors are so low. Yeah, people were midgets.
Folk were tiny.
I think Jesus was about 4'2".
How do they know that?
Eh? I don't know.
He'd been a... Well, there was a programme I watched.
They found his mountain bike.
There was a programme, and it was one of these reconstruction. This is what Jesus had looked like.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
No.
You found a skull of some guy in a vague area. Can people don't look the same, fucking idiot? Oh, can those Channel 5 documentaries? The true secret of Tutankhamun's tomb. And you watch the whole bloody thing and there's nothing new.
Mm.
The real Bermuda Triangle.
Now, you'll notice on YouTube, if you look for anything to do with UFOs, which is my guilty pleasure, I love UFO documentaries.
No, I understand completely.
Love it. But they've stopped them all because they call it fake news and you can't find them. They're really hard to get.
I hate being told how stupid to be.
Well, yeah, I like to choose my own stupidity.
You set your own high watermark,
but Netflix doesn't care.
Oh, Bob Lazar's
Bob Lazar, I watched that. What a liar. He's wonderful.
The thing is, he's a clever bastard.
He is.
He's very clever.
But you know the smartest thing he's done? He's not changed his story.
No.
He's made one mistake once.
Yeah.
And he changed it. But apart from that, he's kept it.
He's kept it. And yeah, he'll make a good living out of that. Because you'll charge people to interview him. His name is on some list. He was there, wasn't he?
He was in Los Alamos.
He's very clever. He's self-taught. He taught himself rockets and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's clever. And it's given him enough.
Do you know who I think the mastermind behind this? Everyone goes on about John Lear, who was his father invented the Lear jet. And John Lear was a CIA pilot, huge thing. But he's completely mad now. He just believes in huge communities on the moon and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But people think it was him. It's not. The guy behind it is a journalist that first found him, George Knapp. Because George Knapp says, this guy came in with John Lear and I don't know who he was. But 2 years earlier, Knapp is out at this firework display thing in the desert, and it was Lazar running it and John Lear. And he actually mentions them in the report.
So he did know it was a concoction.
There was. I think he's full of shit.
But the thing is, it's all harmless shit. I've always been of the belief it's concealing the real shit they're up to.
Oh, what's better than say, look at that UFO?
Yeah.
And everyone goes, I saw a UFO, and you get laughed at.
The UFO thing's not as prevalent as it used to be. It's like, you know what's gone right off the boil? The Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, that has.
Folk have lost interest in it.
They just don't care anymore.
It's because everyone has cameras now.
But we don't get anything.
And nobody gets any photographs.
Although there is one side to that that's not exactly right. And I said that for ages. Where's all the footage? But in general, people use their phones now. And anything beyond 1,000 feet, you can't see.
Yeah, okay.
So you have less chance of capturing it now. On that than you did on an old traditional camera.
It's pretty big, mate.
But
it's like a Diplodocus.
Yeah.
Dondering a bit.
Do you believe in the Loch Ness Monster?
No, but I love the whole bullshit of it. Incredible. I love going, I've been to the visitor centre a number of times. There's a guy that's been on that loch for like 30 years.
Yeah.
That's why the Loch Ness is so dark.
You know
dark.
What? He inspired me.
He's washing his balls in it.
That's disgusting.
Is that the English guy or the guy with the beard?
The English guy, his fiancée left him.
Oh.
He sold up, bought a mobile library, turned it into a home, moved up there just to follow a childhood dream. And I thought, there's nothing purer. And he's still there. And actually, the little house he's got, the library that he lives in, it's done up beautifully. It'd be
an idyllic place to live.
Yeah, and it's like a
apart
show house.
Apart from all the sheep rape. And there's all incest.
You know what they're like.
There's a place called Drumnadrochit.
Oh Christ. There's only one family.
Yeah. And there's a pub there. And I went in with my mates, this is years ago, and they went to play pool, and the pool table was so dusty the balls wouldn't move. But it was a nice kind of pub, kind of, it was like old school pub.
Yeah.
But the barmaid was cutting hair. So you could get a haircut, but she would also trim the hair of your collies. The collie dogs as well. And she wasn't washing it.
This is something that you'll find when you get more rural in Scotland.
I think she was just giving it a wee stir and a pint of lager, and then next.
Yep, yep. You'll go into, if you go up to Thurso, there was a fish and chip shop also sold kites, and the kites above the chips.
Love it.
And they were all covered in fat.
Oh, wonderful. And that would make them more aerodynamic. Sleek.
Do you think? Sleek. But every shop had two.
They'd always sell those buckets and spades. Get those plastic things.
Oh, and the little polystyrene gliders.
Oh, the what annoys me about those polystyrene gliders?
What's that?
On the packet, they're all like made in China, eh?
Mm-hmm.
On the packet, it's like a Messerschmitt raining fire upon the troops. And when you open it, it's just a pile of shite. There's one they sell. They used to sell one at one of the museums I worked at, and it was like insects. So on the package was like a,
that's right,
was like a dragonfly.
But it had
huge fangs, and it was dripping venom, and it was like a murderous sea zapping along, killing everyone. You open it up, it was just a plane with a smiley face on it. But I hate those things. I hate them because people just take, they give them to the kids take them to the beach, they throw them and just leave them.
That's true.
Polystyrene is an appalling substance.
It is, but I do love them. And do you know you get giant ones of them?
Oh, fuck,
they're about 4 foot long.
Do you ever remember the pigeons you could buy and you wind them up so their wings flap?
Yes. Oh,
they were good.
They're amazing. You still get them. Yeah, you still get them. They're very popular in China and that for kids.
I've never put together beautiful
things.
I've never put together one of those Airfix models.
Have you not?
Not really. No, have you?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
I don't recall having ever done it.
My dad done a fantastic thing. You get two models. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and you know, you're just a kid, and the dark nights are in. There's nothing to do. He says, so every night we'll build two of them. You build that one. I'll build one. We'll do it together.
Uh-huh.
But one of them, when the late nights come in, we'll do what I done when I was a kid. And you fill it full of a wee bit of cotton wool and petrol, and we set fire to it like it's exploding.
Your dad's a dangerous man. That's wonderful.
And we'd blow them up in the garden.
Did
it was
he also
great fun.
Show you how to kill a man?
Yes.
Let's go out and kill somebody next to the chip shop.
My dad was shooting. Well, he was in the army, mm-hmm. so he wanted me to know how to use a gun safely.
Oh, well.
So I was shooting 500 yards, as he put it in old language, by the time I was 8. 500 yards with a 303. And
a militia.
The Lee Enfield.
Mm-hmm.
It may be 100 years old, but when you shoot that, that's a hell of a bang. And when you're 8 years old...
Mm-hmm.
I've still got hearing problems from all the gunfire.
Would he kidnap you wearing a balaclava and say he was
just
IRA?
Training.
Just for training. You wake up in the middle of the night, you'd a knife to your throat. I would.
It was a very strange mix, my dad, because you would learn how to shoot a gun.
Uh-huh.
You'd learn how to where to shoot someone. Centre of mass, all this sort of uh-huh. And I'm going, Mom, I was shooting centre of mass today. That's good, son.
Jesus Christ.
So you'd do that, but you'd also make you a lovely packed lunch, and you'd sit and have it, and he'd ask you about what you're, because I'd love drawing. So he goes, oh, you're going to draw this, and I got you new pencils. So I'm out shooting targets, and I had to draw them as well and draw the gun.
But would he poison every third slice of corned beef?
Yeah, I had to, just so I could get through.
So you built up the tolerance. Yeah. Can I people let themselves get bitten by a snake?
Yeah.
Like a little bit.
I remember him telling me that I can. I could, what do you call it? When trains derail a train by using grease in the couplings.
Or other fluids.
He was, I don't know what he'd done in the army. He says, oh, I just faffed around, son. What did you do? Oh, I just faffed around. But it turned out after he died,
mm-hmm.
I found all his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pictures of
him. Human scalps.
With a rifle and skis, and he would patrol, and he mentioned it to me once, but I didn't really understand it.
Uh-huh.
And he would go along on his own outside the city in Germany, Berlin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Berlin Wall turned into a fence,
right? Yeah,
and he would patrol it, and he'd see guys with guns on their side and wave to them, and then just go into the next bit. And
yeah,
he'd do that. And
well, that had been a better case than Ireland.
That's
you'd
true.
Wanted to go to Germany. I know people that were served in Germany. And it was
I think he was out by the time Ireland
was
started.
He?
Yeah,
I watched a documentary about the Irish thing the other day. The Troubles.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
And I just had this rage because, well, all these people died.
Yeah.
For fucking what?
Yes.
What's the end result been?
That's futility of war, though.
They should have gone back in time and showed people a picture of Ian Paisley cuddling up with Martin McGuinness and said, look,
it's going to change.
This is what's happening in 10 years. Folk would have said, fucking hell. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous because it's in our lifetime that, say, the British Army looked at civilians as a genuine enemy.
The shit they went on there is inconvenient. And Civil War, man.
And Civil War, everyone's looking at each other as genuine enemies.
Thing that annoys me all the time, you look abroad and British states always been, oh, those folk in South America, with all their madness. Can you wouldn't get that over here? But, no,
but
Jesus,
we're the maddest.
We were at it.
Yeah.
Just.
I think it's just human nature.
Yeah.
It's very easy to blame it on a country or an organisation or a whatever.
No.
It's human nature.
People, there's always somebody taking advantage of chaos. People, there's always agents of chaos that want to. A little bit of chaos is maybe a good thing. Shake stuff up a little bit.
But you still need that sort of structure to bring it back to something that you can live in.
Yeah,
it's like what true anarchists think that. One day the airline pilot would go, well, I'm going to work on the bins this week.
Yeah.
And he'll do that, and everyone will just help.
It's not going wrong.
But that means that I'm allowed to fly a plane or do surgery.
Well, I was at school with, they said she was an anarchist, but she was quite a kind of middle class girl.
As
and she's not, she's not become a middle. When I was when I went to Glasgow Uni, I got into student politics a little bit.
Oh dear!
And we're on a few marches.
You sound awful.
No, but yeah.
Yeah, you were.
I was in it for the right reasons, but I soured of the whole thing. Because all the people who'd be the most, like, comrades, the right socialists.
Yeah.
They were always these wealthy kids.
Yes.
And they were doing sit-ins and that, because for them, they didn't have to work at university. There was no pressure.
Yeah.
They were going to do fine. And if I've not caught up with any of them for a long time, but I imagine they're all pretty successful
no,
people.
No, that's
it was just dabbling. It was just dabbling a little bit.
It's like, I used to travel around Europe on Euro buses, Euro Express, what they're called, Euro, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it so cheap, or you can get a month ticket or whatever, you know.
No, now, mate.
And not now. And I used to actually use the buses as a hotel, so I would go on them and
sleep
all night.
Bus.
Oh, no problem.
Sleep on a train, yes, not a bus.
But a bus, no problem. I'd wake up in a new city. I'd had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the majority of people that would be traveling. Mm-hmm. They just had a single bag with them, and they're like, oh, this is great. We're living like this easy life. It's, you know,
it's a young man's game.
Oh, God, yeah. But they were all loaded. Mm-hmm. So I discovered very early it's very easy to be poor when you're rich.
I told you before, people I went to art school with all went to India, and they were just going to like, but just stay in like hostels, and they were going to just like hitchhike and all this shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like that. No, you're not. But the reason for going to India, India's like us. It's such a laid back atmosphere, guys. Right. And I'm like, what?
What?
And then when they came back, they're a bit sheepish, but they'd go off the plane and the heat and just the humanity, the raw humanity in India was too much for them. So they booked into a 5-star hotel with a mum and dad's gold credit card.
Of course.
And that's where they were for the for a duration.
Yeah.
And when they, I thought, you fucking Jesus Christ. You know what I mean?
I was sitting on a bus once, and I'm coming back from, I'm sure it was Barcelona. Maybe not. And I was listening to these people at the back of the bus. And when there's a certain class of traveller, they would just see each other and come together.
Yeah.
And when there was the poor asses like me, you spotted them and you would all talk. Because they were all, we always done it, but you always felt a bit out of your depth, where the other people were always like fully in control. We're like, oh, we're just you know, we're traveling here, we're doing this.
Call away from the helicopter coming.
Where everyone that was sort of maybe a bit poorer in traveling on basic money, when I mean overwhelming or out of their depth, you were always just waiting for something to go wrong, and then you had your ticket to get home. Because that was your only option.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like that I met. Oh, God, I was away from the mic there. I'm terribly sorry. That wasn't very professional.
Let's not use that word.
Nah.
When we start using that word, people will start expecting it.
Okay, so just expect.
So we are rank. Just disclaimer, we are rank amateurs.
Rank amateurs.
Rank amateurs.
So when you have no money and you're traveling like that, there's a good part of it is expecting failure.
Yes.
So any little good thing that happens, it feels like a miracle and you have a great time.
Well, you don't want to take ill abroad.
I broke my toe closing the fridge once.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go to hospital that night.
Yeah.
And everyone was really unhappy.
But travel insurance, you're covered. What's happening with the Europe thing now as far as insurance goes?
The health card's gone. Be gone. Yeah. We're losing everything, man.
Aye. The thing is, I'm not much of a traveller, so we're losing things I've not really exploited.
I've used it all.
I feel bad for young folk.
You see, I used to just... this is the thing. It's so important. Travel is so important.
Yeah.
And
you need to meet
expanding the mind and all this sort of thing. And I was absolutely addicted to travelling at one point. I started when I was 14 on buses and just taking off to Glasgow, which I walked back from. It was insane, you know, 50-odd miles. But I would do things like that. And young people now just can't get on a bus, go to Victoria Bus Station, and then take off around Europe. You've got an amazing place to visit. It's just going to be a pain.
Oh, just all the foreign food.
Or
so
just
delicious.
Go and work somewhere.
So delicious. I remember the first time I tasted couscous was in France.
Oh.
And I thought that it was chicken and I thought, what is this?
Because
Scottish food, let's be honest,
it's not the
greatest. It's not got much better. I've been watching stuff about on YouTube, Japanese street food, Chinese street food, Singapore street food, and it's just these artistry that do the most beautiful, delicious looking stuff. There's not a Scottish equivalent.
No, I remember getting puff candy.
Yeah. There's the European market they do in Dundee every year, and it's overpriced shite.
It's terrible.
It's just like...
Have you seen the German sausage shop with the supermodel that works in it?
Oh, you're still... She's left a little...
Oh, my God. I can't stop thinking about it.
Well, there's a guy that comes... Years. He was quite cool. He was a guy that owns a German gold mine. We've discussed this.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes schnapps.
Schnapps.
But not that sweet stuff your gran used to drink.
Okay.
The peach schnapps. He makes a proper schnapps. Because you'd always see war films.
Yeah.
And it's in Stalingrad, and the Germans keeping themselves warm with the schnapps.
The schnapps.
This was that kind of schnapps.
Wow.
Oh, and you have a sip of it, and it's a nice warm glow. But he had sausages, and you can go on a tour of his gold mine. It's spent, all the gold's gone.
Right, okay.
But you can go around the caverns. Looks wonderful.
I used to go out with a German girl.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was watching Inglourious Basterds, and I saw Michael Fassbender ask for two drinks, I knew that was a mistake.
You knew.
I knew. Learned that one
earlier. There was a lassie I went to art school with called Sabine Klaus.
Mm-hmm.
And Sabine Klaus was German.
Sabine is like the most common German name
Sabine
possible.
Klaus. But she used to do performative art.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
They'd roll her up in a blanket and then unroll her at people's feet. But I had a chihuahua. I don't know if I've told this little tale, but I had a chihuahua at the time, Tony Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking up the Perth Road, and Sabine Klaus is coming towards me, but she's dressed like a kind of fraulein. She's got her hair in the bun.
Right.
And she's got the gingham in the skirt, and she's getting all the... And she's got a big basket, and she goes, "Oh, what an adorable little dog." She squats down to speak to the dog, and her body stocking rides up, and she's got a gigantic skid mark at the back of it. And it stayed with me.
That would traumatise you. That would make you think different.
I could see that the dog smelt it. He started licking his lip.
You just done a German accent. And
it's based on my
research. It's a very stereotypical German accent.
It's called hello, hello.
My ex sounded exactly like that.
We've discussed this before. German gets this reputation as being a very functional... It's the language of war.
Yeah, but
they say Germans are the most romantic people. It's like they say the most romantic people on earth are the Russians. The French get this reputation and the Italians.
But all stereotypes.
Smooth bastards.
But
the Russians, when they love you, they will cut off their legs to feed you. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's all consuming passion.
Buy you lots of Adidas. But the thing is, it's my German ex, I've told you about her before, but her accent was very thick. Her English was perfect.
Bavarian?
Apart from, I don't know.
Hamburgian?
Don't know.
Oh, no.
She mentioned, I just tuned out.
He didn't listen.
Honestly, I don't remember. I have no idea where she was from.
No.
She was originally, there's a story about her. She'd done a bit of time in jail.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And She came
in the '50s on her way back from Brazil, Argentina,
for drugs.
For drugs. Ooh.
No, for a bit of drug smuggling.
Ah.
Then she married an American soldier.
Right.
And when she was, and he came to, was it Los, no, what was the one not far from here, the airbase that closed a few years ago?
Lookers.
Nope.
Lossy, Kinloss.
No. What's the, no, closer than that. There was one not too far away.
Oh, that's maybe a secret one.
No, it's just a small one. It's just a sort of...
Just a nuclear bomber.
Just a wee, yeah, it'll be something like that. But it wasn't too far. I can't remember. It was just outside a bit further north. Mm-hmm. And everyone, all the soldiers used to live around Lunan Bay and areas like that.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd, mm-hmm. you'd go surfing mm-hmm. a lot of Americans and that was cool. But I didn't know. And I met her because they got a place in St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. And I met this girl on the beach. Do-do-do-do-do.
Smooth as
yeah,
silk.
Yeah, just as usual. Then you find out she's married and you're like, oh God, okay. But anyway, it just went on anyway, I didn't care. So a few years later,
you dog.
In America, she gets in touch and I'm like, okay, what's going on? So I think I told you that she faked her own death and everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a common thing.
But she rides with a biker gang now with a parrot on her shoulder.
Jesus, that's an affectation, isn't it?
Isn't it? That fucking parrot hated me, and I hated it.
You know my feelings on biker gangs.
Threatened to kill me.
Sons of Anarchy. It's so macho. It's tips.
It went too.
Well,
macho.
I remember seeing. Was it Louis Theroux? Possibly.
Yeah.
And he went to biker gang clubhouse. Isn't it? They call them a clubhouse.
It's clubs. Yeah.
And it wasn't pleasant.
No.
But they were all there. Their gym equipment. Mm-hmm. They were. Oh, everyone was very muscular.
Mm-hmm. The foam's falling off the roof.
Oh, that's an injury. That's an injury.
It's all right. My claim's
going in.
They're all going to come down.
The ghouls,
the
well.
Thing is, I got the proper tape, but it's just not working. No, they're falling off every day.
Yeah, maybe some glue. And yeah. They were all very muscular guys. A lot of tattoos. A lot of leather wear. A lot like the company of each other.
Yeah.
Greasing each other up. Even they realised it was extraordinarily gay.
Yeah.
They must have thought, guys, this is going a bit gay. So all of a sudden a door opened and all these strippers came in and started like going about. And I thought, nicely saved there.
I don't need the company of men that much.
No, Well, my mates are a right salty crew.
Right, okay.
They're all quite nerdy people.
Uh-huh.
I can be a bit laddie when I've got a few drinks, but I couldn't be arsed. You know, you see these like guys that play five-a-side football,
mm-hmm.
and all the after football drinks and that.
No,
you
I don't.
Listen to
I
it,
don't
it's,
go
it's,
for that.
It's tedious.
Yeah,
it's, you know, people who have the same. God, here's us. Can I people have the same conversation every time they meet? It's just the same.
That's us.
Yeah, it is us. But I like to think it's a little bit more varied. You know what I mean?
I think it is.
It's like stag nights where there's 60 people.
No. Oh, I couldn't do that.
And there's a bit of spite in it. You know when the groom mm-hmm. ends up getting stripped?
There's a bit, it's a bit of aggression. It's a bit, there's always one guy going, let's shag him.
Let's all shag him. Not in a gay way. Just shag him. Can I go 10? Can I go 10? And I'll clean up afterwards.
Yeah, there's always one.
Okay, Steve. There was a guy up, but he joined the dress. I'm not keen on the whole dressing up thing. But he dressed up as the Romans, you know, the soldiers.
Yeah.
And I think they weren't called the Praetorian Guard. They were called the Antonian Guard or some shit.
Some stupid.
But the guy who was the Centurion, is that how it works?
Yeah, okay.
He thought it drifted into normal life.
Oh,
so
no.
Some of the other club members would like... treat him like he was their boss in civvies. So when they went to the pub afterwards in civilian clothes, they would all go and get him a drink.
I think this is...
That's a male thing.
I think
it?
This is something that happens everywhere. I watched a documentary about Vietnam reenactors. And they had a sergeant, they had an officer, and like that, after it was all finished, they still said, yes, sir.
That's weird. I watched one about... guys that go across to France and dress up as soldiers and fuck about the bocage and all that.
Yeah, why?
And you're like, give them the due. A lot of them are actually dressed as Americans because most reenactors, they like the Nazi uniform.
See, the reenactors will do anything for a Nazi dagger.
Yeah, well, the whole steampunk one, the whole cosplay stuff, steampunk's interesting because yeah. The pith helmet's become problematic. Because the pith helmet's like a,
it's ridiculous.
That's become a colonial thing.
Anything can be attached to anything.
Anything you can dress as a, you can dress up as a international, interdimensional villain,
and I can tell
a
you,
a destroyer of souls. Yeah, but that's fine. But if you dress up as like,
we'll put a pith helmet on, it's, and there's nothing. See, yes. This is where you have to. Have you ever LARPed? No, but I went to the Ren Faire in New York.
Okay, and they were LARPing. And,
oh, it's unbelievable. Ren Faire, Stirling or Stirlingwood, mm-hmm. something like mm-hmm. that. It's the biggest Ren Faire, Renaissance Faire in America. Mm-hmm. And it runs for like 6 months of the year or something.
People
it's
never
huge.
Come out of character.
No, and they all do Ren speak, which is like this weird English accent. In fact, one of the guys stopped me. And he said, you have to watch your accent. I went, why? He goes, because that could offend Irish people. And I went, oh, so my own Scottish accent sounds more Irish and not good enough.
That's disappointing.
And, I went, no, that's my accent. And he went, sure it is.
That's it. The thing is, Ren speak, that will, that's how languages work. That mm-hmm. will become a language.
It's so, and they use things. It's like, they know that we call stores shops, mm. but they spell it with two P's in
of
an
course,
E.
Of course, medieval.
And then it's turned into
shops.
A shoppy.
Shoppy.
Go to the shoppy. And I'm like, no, it's just a shop.
Oh, Christ.
And then they don't say ye. They don't. Right, when we say, are you going to the shop? Are you going to the. We don't say, are ye going to the shop like uh-huh. Brigadoon? Uh-huh. But they say everything with ye. I went, no, it's pronounced ye. And they just, nope, wouldn't have it. They corrected me continuously.
Oh, God, I was just confused. I'd like to go to a medieval banquet, because I do eat with my hands anyway.
Uh-huh.
But like a suckling pig.
Well, they have that.
Oh, I'd love that shit.
They have a castle, and they
I
had...
I just wear my jeans.
They had the pig on the roast, a proper spit roast, not the kind that we watch.
Yeah.
A genuine mm. spit roast. They had all... Well, amazing acts going on all the time. They had a full-size chessboard, but it's all like a play and everything. I thought, this
oh,
is
when
shit.
You lose, you get your throat slit.
Yeah, but it was actually really good. And the jousting, the guys that done it were the stuntmen from, what's that film with Heath Ledger, where he's a knight in it? And you know when all the
oh, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
balls hit each other, they all explode. Oh, that, they were doing that.
Jesus Christ.
They're falling off backwards and getting slammed, and the horses do this controlled fall, and it's absolutely wonderful. But the people that go are the actors, the performers mm-hmm. are fantastic. They're mm-hmm. all in, and they really give you a great yeah. show, and they'll look after you and the whole thing. But the people who attend it, they also believe it, and they're going around because, did you know? To be a Scotsman, there's a lot of people going dressed as Scotsmen, and they have a big bonnet with a massive feather on
and
it.
And a huge long kilt.
And a huge long kilt, like down a lady's ankles. Kilt. And they all have a traditional Scottish leather mug.
What?
I've never heard of it. So when I went, what's that? Where did you get the mug?
A leather mug, is that no Marty Pello?
Joke of the day, nee. Joke of the day.
Marty Pello was born in a public toilet in Glasgow.
I can see it in his
have
face.
Have you seen the state of him?
No, that's I haven't seen it. That's heroin though, isn't
it's
it?
It's heroin.
Yeah.
He was holding down a pretty substantial heroin. Remember he was married to like the Daily Record. Remember Daily Record's Page Three Girls?
Yeah.
And there was a lass called, I think in the Huttard. Catherine Huttard.
Huttard. Oh, no, yeah. I don't know.
But that was Marty Pello, the golden couple of Scotland for a while.
Oh my God. Goodness. Aye, oh, joke of the day. That's really, that's going to, that's a good one.
Keep
that's
up,
a good
keep
one.
Up. No, I went to a thing called, it was up near, it was funded by the European Union, and it was always doomed to fail. I think it was like Pictavia.
Pictavia, yeah.
There was one, but there was one up north that was called something else. I can't remember. And yeah, you'd walk around and it was quite cool. They'd like the kind of like a Stone Age huts and then Iron Age huts. But there's a guy there, oh, like Stig of the Dump style.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was plucking a chicken or something. And my dad went to speak to him, but he wouldn't have come out of character.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And
I hate
I'm like,
people.
Come on, man.
Just talk. See, I went to Pictavia because mm-hmm. I thought, oh, it's new. I'll go and see it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all Picts around here. We still use Pictish language. We're still, you know, it's all within the culture. And I was kind of interested. Mm-hmm. So I went up. There's two words in that whole building. Mm-hmm. On everything you read and everything they say, there's two words, might and may. This is have been what they listened to. Yeah. So it's just music playing, and they may have made food this way. Everything's made up.
Well, they can't have no idea. They will have masturbated on chickens.
They would have.
They would have.
But they didn't put that there.
They didn't have put that there.
Fucking rubbish place.
No, it's. Have you been to the Cranog?
No, what's that?
The Cranog's in Loch Tay. And if you ever go around a Scottish loch, there's always these little islands on them. You know, there's a wee
some cluster beautiful, and beautiful trees on it, yeah.
A lot of those have started off as a Cranog. So you can imagine Scotland, you couldn't get about over land. It was forested and it was crazy.
That's it,
People went round the coast and on rivers. So people lived on the river.
Right,
so they had these Cranogs. So it was a walkway and then a stilted platform.
All right, got you.
And they've built one in Loch Tay, the Cranog. Oh, nice. And it's great. But they dress as like people of the time, but they speak fucking English.
But they speak normal.
And they're nice. But I've always wanted to spend a night on the Cranog.
That'd be nice. Make wonderful. Your own one.
Just make my own Cranog. Just on the Tay.
Just float out.
Just float out. Just float out.
In the Tay.
The Cranog.
Watch all the bodies float past you. Oh.
Bodies. Oh, God. No, but yeah, I don't. Saying that, would that be an okay job for a summer? Dressing up as a cave
I think
person.
It could be a very rough job sometimes.
Yeah, some folk might laugh at you.
Might. I think I'd go just to laugh at people.
Yeah,
like at Pictavia, they annoyed me.
Did they? Did you give you that Scottish subtleness?
I think. Well, yeah. We're not good at the service industry.
You know the Disneyland cheer, forced cheeriness.
Yeah.
That I couldn't sustain that.
Well, I saw a video and it was a girl in whatever Disneyland it was, and she was clearly Australian playing Daisy Ridley, you know, playing Rey.
Okay.
At the Star Wars thing. And she's such an expert at talking to kids and that. Every kid was enthralled with her. She's a young girl.
Resting actor.
Magical. I'll give her, you can't take it from her. She had absolute skills with every kid. And she just changed each one
because
she
saw some.
Yeah. And she, I'll never be in a film. But she saw some of the kids getting scared of her.
She could
so
probably
she knew
be a better actress
through.
Than Daisy Ridley. No?
That wouldn't be hard. Bless her. But the
think she'll go on to big things?
No.
No.
This girl was fantastic.
No.
And then I just thought of the slightly rounded lady who I said hello to at Pictavia, and she went into character and started screaming at me.
I bet you said to God,
so I just left.
Those rotten teeth are really good. Did you get them made? No, that's my actual teeth.
Did you get fat for the role?
That's my real teeth.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
I've never had a job like that. No, I was a tour guide in a distillery.
Yeah, you said that. I just can't imagine it. I mean, you seem to be quite social. You get on with people, don't you? You fight more than you get on with, but
I didn't fall out with many people. Well, the woman who ran the place was dead like couthy and nice, but turned out she hated my guts and she was a cunt.
Oh.
I overheard her slagging me off, so I made an enemy with her. But she's dead, so who got the last laugh?
Well, here's the
scruffly
thing.
Old bitch.
When I worked at the car place, I always thought, surly, that's a good word. I always thought it was a bit surly. I always thought I didn't care about this job. But that was only on the inside. What come out as I go, here's another fucking customer. I go, morning, how are you doing?
Oh,
it's
wonderful.
a lovely day we're getting.
That's professionalism.
And I would talk, but inside I was angry. So when they said, I'll only deal with me, when they came back, I went, why? I was a dick to them.
Oh, you didn't.
But I wasn't. No matter how hard I tried, it was nice.
There's like the service industry, if you're working in hotels, can top end hotels, the skill to deal with customers is incredible.
Yeah.
To be able to be pleasant when somebody's being a complete arsehole, I just can't do it. But the thing about Scottish service, they were unpleasant to you from the go.
Yeah.
You could come in smiling and happy, and they were just vile. They didn't react to unpleasantness.
No, they're just, in the States. See, when you go in.
But people, there was hotels
shop.
In this country.
I know.
There was restaurants.
It's insane. Not now.
No, well, not now. Before we started to learn how to be nice to people, I just don't understand it.
I don't
it.
Know how it happened, but in America, people are so nice to you. And even though a lot of it's really false, it is cultural.
Because it's tips, though.
Yeah, and that's fine, but you go in places that don't accept tips, there was some, and people are really nice.
Yeah.
There's I have to say, for politeness, in the Midwest, in the States, I've never experienced anywhere like it. Politeness is just everywhere. Just people in the street, they're
polite.
A polite
society can be a dangerous one.
Maybe,
when it goes.
Maybe.
When it goes.
But everyone was really considerate.
There's just no tips here.
thankfully.
Yeah, well, restaurants, I always leave a tip.
Because people weren't getting paid in the States.
Yeah, but you don't... Who leaves a tip, really, if you're going in for a call? It's funny.
I got a tip once.
Did you?
In this country. Mm-hmm. It was one of the owners of Hertz. Had come in to play golf.
Right.
So he come into Dundee, pick up his car, had this big bronze Mercedes waiting for him. Wonderful. I'd all got all prepared and that. Give me a tip, right? And I was like, and it was in the office, and I was like, oh, I can't accept that. You know, don't take tips. And he goes, no, it's okay. He says, actually, I'm a co-owner of the company, and I want you to have that. And I was like, well, thank you very much. £50.
Not bad.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he opened the door, and then he stopped, and he was working on his phone. My boss went, all tips come up to the office. And this guy just looked up, and he says, could you open the back door for me? He went up and gave my boss shit for it. It was the most, and my boss didn't speak to me for, I swear to you, about 6 weeks. He was so angry and embarrassed by it because he was wanting the tip.
I don't like that shit.
Terrible, eh?
You know the Roux brothers?
The Roux brothers?
The French guys, the restaurateurs, the chefs.
No.
They've got a place in Gavroche. I think it's in London, someplace. But they, all the tips go, the people don't get to keep their tips.
Disgusting.
It's fucking disgusting. I would have these places shut down.
Yeah. It's theft.
You could make an argument. You've got the front of house staff and the back staff.
Mm-hmm.
So the waiter's getting a tip, but the
okay, split it. Yeah.
No, but they were taking the tips off everyone.
Disgusting.
Yeah, disgusting.
I bet the people who were leaving the tips didn't know that.
But their argument is, but you're working with the Roux brothers. It's this will set you up for that kind of bullshit.
I get this daily. Yeah. I get this from my customer. My customers, no. From Idiots Daily.
Yeah, they say working with me is an honour.
Mm-hmm. I get it all the time.
I think there's people that go about in the world that never pay for fuck all.
Nobody's
given us anything free. I'm waiting for this.
I've wondered how many times it works if you just keep asking. Because I've had people, quite well known people that I will not name, but if I said it, people would know their names, that have asked for my items for free. And they said, I'll mention it in one Instagram post or something. You're like, fuck off. I've got bills to pay.
Say that, if Kim Kardashian was buying a pair of your leather.
Yeah, that would be different. But
yeah,
honestly, people with like 2,000 Instagram followers.
That's how they make their money.
Crazy.
Isn't it? They get paid by companies just to mention it.
We should start doing it. It's like $1 million.
I got 3,000 pounds to push the Grampian cookbook. Now, Gladys Menhinnick, she's a wonderful woman.
Menhinnick. Is that a Scottish name? I've never heard of it.
It features soups, fish, beef and venison, puddings. I don't know what this is. Fly cups and pieces. A cup of tea, a fly cup. Sweeties and pantry.
Wait, you've said a fly cup,
A fly cup. If you have a wee fly cup of tea with a wee biscuit, I think that's what a fly cup is.
No, I think you've just interpreted that.
Is a cup full of flies. Just blue balls. Mm.
And then what was the other one you got?
Scotland the Best.
Scotland the Best makes all other guides to Scotland redundant.
Saying that, I think this is a 2011 edition. A lot has improved since then.
The world has changed. 1.50.
And this one, Scotland's Unsolved Mysteries of the 20s.
I want to read that.
Yeah. The biggest mystery is a royal disaster, death of a warship.
I've just seen something.
What?
I've seen something. Where did you get this?
Oh, it's from the library.
I know. It's a library book.
When was it last?
2006, you're in trouble.
No.
Perth and Kinross.
They come round to your house. In a black van, black two Windies, you get bundled in the back.
You know what? I bet you bought that second hand town.
No, I found it in a box outside Scrap Antics. They said, help yourself. So I'm
I did see all that actually.
I always have a rummage.
Yeah.
I like to rummage through. You know, you'll go to a charity shop and there's a wee box outside with books.
Yeah.
I love a rummage. You'll find some great stuff. There's the Communist Party in Dundee. They have a wee stall in the town sometimes.
I see that in their books.
But it's just Patricia Cornwell stuff.
It's always that.
Garbage.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Nigel Tranter.
Right. You've
seen his stuff. He wrote like Scottish historical stuff.
Boring.
It's just five chapters about Bonnie Prince Charlie getting his hole.
Oh, when I was at school, there was something about Jacobites and...
Did you like all that?
Oh, I don't know. I hated it. Crofton.
The Runrig system. The music of Runrig.
No,
there was a thing.
Terrible.
This isn't a really a political thing, but it features politics. But the Prime Minister was up in this country the other day, and like him or Liam, it doesn't. That's not the point I'm making.
Okay,
but he was. They went up to interview people to see what their opinion was of Boris Johnson being in Scotland, and it was all people dressed like Jacobites. And you think, I wonder what these guys are going to say. But the BBC journalist approached them like, oh, this could go either way. You're like, shut the fuck up. But that's what puts people off of any persuasion.
Yes.
I would think, whatever your argument, wherever you lie on independence or anything, the flag waving law are not pleasant of any persuasion.
They're not.
It's off-putting.
I saw two American girls the other day, and they put on Braveheart makeup because they were told to wear a mask in public.
Oh,
so they put on
Jesus.
Braveheart. And then someone from Scotland went, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Our death rate is down to zero today because we wear masks, you stupid fucks. It's brilliant.
But they do the Braveheart makeup? They had the salt tire in it.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. But that wasn't historically correct anyway.
They didn't.
Bullshit.
The Picts wore that. They weren't Picts.
No.
They were Scots by that point.
The horrible thing, I'm not a fan of the film Braveheart. I remember Alex Salmon said, this is the most important Scottish film of our lifetime. He thought, yeah.
I know the most important.
It was filmed in fucking Ireland, I believe. Yeah.
It started here, but if you watch the start of the film, it's pishing down.
Aye, that's a Scottish bit.
It's just outside Aberdeen, in a place that gets the most rain in Europe. And they done it there, and then they said, no, there's tax breaks in Ireland. But it was just going to be wet all the time, so they went to Ireland and done it.
But what I don't like about it is that film's very popular with certain elements in America.
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is
the horrible thing, we've spoken about this before, but the KKK, a lot of that's got its roots in Scottishness.
Oh, yeah.
A lot
of
the Scottish people, they went, tartan. Like the way that neo-Nazis wear like that, what's it called?
I know what you mean.
That is tartan. That's come from, because Scottish landowners, their slaves would wear their tartan.
Someone said to me once, I was in Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
I was just north of Little Rock,
Six to Arkansas.
And someone said to me, it must be great living in Scotland, the last white nation on earth.
Oh, Jesus. Is that what they're...
And I went, what? And they were just... But very open about it. Very... That's wonderful. That's great. And I'm like...
Where have they got that from, that notion?
This notion of Scotland being the last white place. Now, the
you
reason...
You could probably say Eastern Europe's got more of a...
Yes.
There's still a kind of...
But they don't look at maybe Nordic countries because they still see them as foreign, but we speak English, so that's the connection.
But
that's it.
I suppose Norway's
it's ridiculous.
Norway's become quite a multi-ethnic country.
Yeah.
They're very open to immigrants. But I'd imagine...
There's a weird view of
Russia,
Scotland.
Bulgaria, Poland would be very kind of white country.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching Sniper, the film Sniper.
Mm-hmm.
With Tom Berenger.
Yes.
But I think they made like Sniper 4. Tom's getting a wee bit old by this time.
He's an old man.
He's an old geezer. But they were on a undercover mission in Russia to snipe somebody, shoot somebody. And his co-sniper was a black guy.
Yeah.
And I thought, so he had to hide all the time because he'd have stood out in the crowd. And you thought, oh, for Christ's sake, you've not thought this through.
But I encountered quite... The funny thing was... With racism in the States that I found, that people were very open about it in the sense they didn't realise they were being racist.
No.
Because if you went, no, that's a bit... And they'd go, oh, no, it's just that's good that there's...
That was the same here.
It's so strange, the racism.
Racism was... When I was a kid growing up in my hometown, racism was everywhere.
Yeah.
All isms.
All isms. Were
front and centre.
That's it.
Because nobody ever told anybody off. Well, there wasn't a really... There wasn't many black people. There was probably some Indian people who had the local takeaway.
Yeah.
And then there was Chinese people who had the Chinese takeaway, and that was pretty much it.
One of my best...
And imagine enduring some of the shit
they've
gone.
Oh, God almighty, I mean, my best friend from primary one right to when I was 17 was an Indian chap.
Right,
who was just the most... he was, I would say, the funniest human I've ever met. He couldn't say anything without making me just piss myself laughing. And his cousin was quite amazing. I won't say his name. Lovely Indian kid as well. Also hilarious. But at school, he fought racism in an amazing way.
Right.
He joined the National Front. He joined the National Front, and he used to go around with a bomber jacket and going, all these immigrants. He was the funniest kid.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've always remembered how empowered he was to knock down racism by laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, laugh, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what I've stuck with.
Yeah.
Just, you know, okay, but sometimes you have to really make stands against it.
Mm-hmm.
And other times just laugh because it doesn't.
Yeah.
The people aren't sometimes smart enough.
No,
understand what they're doing.
But you see some, it's like Asian guys, shopkeepers, they've got stores in some rough fucking areas.
Yeah.
And you think, Jesus, that's ballsy.
Yeah.
That is really ballsy. But they've got the last laugh because they've bought the nice car, they've got the nice house. You know what I mean? They're
this is
purely business. But they've sent their entire families, they're all doctors.
Hopefully.
Progression, man.
Turning a corner at the moment with a lot happening in the world, and we're going to maybe at least talk about racism.
Do you think there seems to be more energy on the side of right at the moment?
Yes.
The energy coming from a lot of bigoted people, the folk that want the status quo, that want their box of tricks is tired, man.
Yep.
It's the same thing they've used forever, and I don't think it's people are seeing through it. I'm getting that kind of vibe off it.
I'm hoping so. I hope there's going to be a bit of a reformation of society and we could move on. There's always going to be arseholes.
Yeah.
There's always, the thing is, we can move
on. The thing is, what the mistake they make, people have the right to be arseholes.
Oh, that's right. And that's, I would support thing. That.
Yeah. They're trying to just stamp everything out completely.
No, I don't
and
want...
That's not
the
one.
Beyond the pale thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
If someone's got a bad idea, talk to them.
Yeah.
Everyone should be talking. Daryl... Oh, I always forget the guy's name. Black musician. He talks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know.
Lots
the guy,
of people out of the KKK.
He's got, he's got a collection of hoods. People just give him, they'll give up. Yeah.
He is magical and he's amazing. And we've got a lot to learn from someone like that.
I suppose, excuse me, even most unpleasant of folk, a lot of their hatred and bigotry, it's based on this not a real person or people. And if even the worst of them, you'd be amazed if they actually spent time with people. I've watched documentaries where some lassie is embedded, she's a journalist and she's with a group of people, and just being around her, you see them going, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
People can't change. We've got to have redemption. We keep speaking about this, but there's not enough redemption. They want people pilloried, they want people thrown out.
That doesn't work.
Because
if people start doing that, you will create a subculture.
No, but they are.
And what don't do that.
What they're creating is, they're creating this little pockets of the internet where people are heading to. Your Katie Hopkinses, your Milos, and they all go to this little horrible sewers, and then. But I don't even think they believe it. But it gets to the stage they've gone too far. There's no turning back for them.
I think sometimes they can get very used to being, using an American term, very ornery, being a bit of a widow, and just saying things.
You can say shockingly amusing stuff.
Yeah,
we say some stuff. But you don't have to be, you can be shocking but not offensive.
I saw Katie Hopkins once and someone complimented her.
Aye.
And she went straight on the, why are you doing it? Okay. She didn't understand it.
She'll be damaged.
Yeah.
But you can't see that anymore. Cause
and
she's
it's
just,
like.
She's not a super fiend.
No, she's just
She's a person, I think she's got some brain condition.
Yeah.
And she's got herself, you've got to have empathy to the worst of people. If you don't have empathy for the worst of people, you'll just be hanging people.
That's
you'll
right.
just be taking and all I the child molest and just hanging them.
This is what people want at the moment.
Yeah.
They say, oh, you done something stupid 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want your job. We want. And the thing is with that, I remember always, I don't know if it's just because we were poor asses or whatever, but it doesn't matter what your who your enemy was.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go after their job. You don't go to their work and give them shit.
No.
You don't cross that line.
No. Yeah.
You could have a big fight with them at their home, but you do not go to their job.
You could put
there was that sort of newspaper
with Joby on it through their letterbox.
I think it's rich kids that don't understand what it is for someone to lose their job. I think there's idle hands that are causing this. I think someone needs an enemy to make themselves feel important.
Well, people don't really. I suppose if you are relying on, if you're on a week to week basis, and if you don't, you're fucked.
Yeah. It's like
most folk are better off now.
A lot of the social justice thing and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with.
Yeah.
But the methodology is ridiculous. Yeah. I don't want to cancel anybody.
No.
I want to talk. A marketplace of ideas.
Guy Ritchie.
Well, fuck him.
We could fucking cancel Guy Ritchie.
But apart, and the thing is, I said this to someone, I don't think cancelling. They went, oh, what's in your past that you don't want cancelled? And I went, nothing. But I hope that I've grown enough.
Even somebody's holding the threat, we could cancel you. That's not pleasant.
That's, yeah.
That's the same playbook. If you dehumanise somebody, if you make them less than a person, you can do anything to them.
That's right. So that's what was done to the Jews, that was done to the Native Americans.
Their opinion, I don't like. They're not human. Well, they are human.
That's right.
That's the very nature of humanity. Nobody's fucking perfect.
No, that's it. And I allow mistakes in people.
Well, I am actually perfect. I fart and it smells like lavender.
It doesn't.
And if I fart in the face of people who are ill, they're miraculously cured. My anus is like Jesus.
Genus. Honestly, do you Jesus. Know that it's exactly 1 hour and ruin the show? We were talking politics there. We were talking positive.
I didn't ruin the show. We were
talking positive.
It's called the cherry on top of the cherry Bakewell. Do you know they're put on by hand?
What?
Yeah, cherry Bakewells will go down the conveyor belt. They don't have a machine yet to put the cherry on. Yep. No, they just have a mouthful and they go.
Well, the point is we're making. Mm-hmm. We hope that people can be more balanced, more centred and willing to talk over reactions and violence and stuff. We want to end racism, isms, and ists.
Yeah.
A better world.
Puffy Guy Ritchie.
Fuck him.
Who else do I not like to a degree? I would never. Oh.
I think.
I'm not a fan of Ewan McGregor.
I know, you keep mentioning him. It's that voice of his, isn't it? The whininess.
And Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, not him.
Jamie Oliver. There's a lot of people were circling during this time, and they thought by getting a wee camera and doing some cooking in their mansion, they were going to get a knighthood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they ran out of juice.
Captain Tom.
Thankfully, the public can see through it, a lot of it. Do you think Captain Tom is tweeting? So it's his family that are tweeting. You're like, why?
I think they're exploiting this situation.
Well, the money's now been raised.
Yeah.
So what are they after? You know, it's maybe a shame to say it, but you know when you'd watch Blind Date?
Mm-hmm.
And it was young people thrusting young bucks. But then periodically throw in some old bastard.
Yeah.
Is nothing worse than a showy off old geezer.
It's
an old guy.
I always think
a
mentally
cocksure.
Ill.
Yeah. An old cocksure guy that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd see him in like aged porn. It's the same sort
it's
of
person. It's not
something
I've watched.
No, I don't know.
No, about it.
On that note.
Quickly.
There we go.
This will be, I hope this isn't a show in some.
No, this will be. I've got
Isilla
here right
Black
now.
Dead.
Yeah, she died.
That's good.
She died on holiday.
She smuggled the diamonds out of South Africa up her arsehole. It's true.
Until next time.
Hey.
Laters.
Ta-da.